Thank you, team. We are continuing on in our series on the dreams that God has for our lives. Time to dream, trusting God to open doors. Now, as I was reading that new commandment that we are to love people as Christ has loved us, that's a high and holy calling on our lives. And it's not easy living in this world because we're just ordinary people. We're not superhumans. We're just people who've experienced brokenness and pain, and we experience offense and the need to forgive. And so I want to talk to you today about living God's dream in spite of past decisions. If we had never an offense that came into our lives, or never something that came that hurt us, or never a circumstance that greatly affected us, well, maybe we'd find it easier to love like Jesus did. But the truth that we need to realize about our living life on planet Earth, even as God's children, is this. We all make many mistakes. All of us. And the only way that we get forgiveness, and the only way that we begin to love like God loves us, is by receiving His grace. It's His grace that cleanses us from our sin. It's His grace that removes our guilt. It's His grace that adopts us into God's family. And when God looks at us today, as I said earlier, with that fresh snowfall, He sees no sin because of the precious blood of Jesus. And so remember, we all make many mistakes. And also, as Romans tells us, for everyone, would you please say everyone? Everyone has sinned. And so even as we progress in life, even as we become better lovers of God and better lovers of people, we still fall short. Even as holy as we may be, or as obedient as we are through the grace of God, we still fall short of God's glorious standard, where Christ was able to suffer on the cross and look at a criminal and say, "You'll be with me in heaven today." Or when Jesus was able to look down at the cross at those who had whipped him and abused him and taunted him and spat upon him and say from his heart, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." We need to understand that as humans, we are people that need that depth of God's grace to continue to change us so that we might be whole in our relationships. And so as we're talking about having healthy relationships today, there's four things that I'd like us to realize as those who are just normal human beings. And even though we're forgiven, we're still broken people. First of all, we need to honestly accept responsibility for our poor choices. Now, one human specialty that is the first thing that's in our human nature is the specialty of passing the buck. You might remember that God created a perfect garden, and he put two perfect people in that garden. What were their names? Adam and Eve. And God walked with Adam and Eve. He walked with them, and he talked with them, and he said to them, I want you to rule over this. I made this for you to enjoy. I mean, God was so much fun that he let Adam name all of the animals. Like, God could have just given him an encyclopedia and said, "Eve for elephant." No, God just said, "Come here, son. I want you to name them all. I want you to rule over this. I want you to enjoy it." One thing, though, Adam and Eve, never touch that tree in the middle of the garden. You see, God gave us the freedom to choose. Because the day that you eat of the fruit of that tree, you'll die. And so you know the story. And so God comes to Adam, and he says to Adam, the Lord asked, "Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" And now Adam says this to God. Like, I mean, God knows everything. But this shows us the human specialty of passing the buck, or maybe we call it blame shifting or the blame game. You see it everywhere. You see it in families. You see it in schools. You see it, you know, it wasn't my fault. You see it in the workplace, just passing the buck. The man replied, "God, it was the woman that you gave me." It was the woman that you gave me, and she ate the fruit. Even on International Women's Day, God has to mention the women today. Isn't that something? And so the woman, then God talks to the woman and says, "Eve, is it true?" And Eve says to God, "God, it was the serpent. It was the serpent that you made me." Listen, it's easy. It's within our human nature. When something goes wrong, we want to blame somebody else. When something goes wrong, we don't want to take responsibility. Leaders step up. Leaders take responsibility. And God wants us as Christians to do that. If you believe that, say amen. So we need to honestly and humbly accept responsibility for the poor choices that we make in relationships. And you know, you want to know what I think is the worst sin of all. And we're going to look at the life of Peter in Mark 14. You might think all kinds of things might flood your mind, but I'm going to talk about four things that cause us to make poor choices. And I think the worst sin of all is pride. Pride. When we think that we're the king of the castle and somebody else is the dirty rascal, when we think that, you know, oh boy, that marriage failed, my marriage would never fail, or that person did that sin, I would never commit that sin, I just love Jesus too much. I'll tell you something, friends, when we think that, we're in a dangerous spot. Because pride causes us to make really dumb choices. And Jesus was just sharing with his disciples. He was saying, by the way, I want you to know, you're all going to desert me. Peter said, not me. I understand. Hey, I know these ones. They might desert you, Lord, but I'll never desert you. I'll die for you, Jesus. Pride causes us to make dumb choices. Do you know where pride can show itself up real fast is in families. Pride can show itself up real fast in family relationships. You know, I'm not talking about the in-laws. I'm talking about the outlaws. Are you hearing me? But when it comes to broken relationships, God wants us to be the ones that are going to mend those. We have to get over our pride. Another thing that can cause us to make poor choices is fatigue, when we're tired. When we're just tired and all of a sudden we go and we do something that we might not have done had we not have been so tired. But fatigue can cause us to choose poorly. And Jesus took the people that were closest with him, Peter and James and John, he said, my soul is in anguish to the point of death. Please watch with me. And then he said, as he found them sleeping three times, couldn't you watch with me? Couldn't you pray with me even for 1 hour? And then he said this, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So God's given us as Christians the Holy Spirit to live the life of Jesus, but our flesh is weak. And we need to find spots when we're fatigued, when we're tired, when we're mentally or emotionally or physically tired. It's okay to take a break. It's okay to take a rest. It's okay to step back so that you don't find yourself in a place that you regret in relationships. Another thing that can cause us to do poor choices is worry. I love this picture here. Isn't this true? Most of the things that you worry about never happen. Isn't that true? And how much energy we spend worrying about it. Oh, and then you maybe confront somebody and they say, what? They weren't even thinking of it and you've been worrying about it for a month. Worry can be a cause for bad decisions. And Peter worried. After they'd fallen asleep and they'd taken Jesus out of the garden, Peter followed Jesus, but he followed Jesus at a distance. And you know, there are still people today that want to follow Jesus. Of course, who doesn't want to have sins forgiven? Who doesn't want to go to heaven? Who doesn't want to have the blessings of God? But you know what? As far as committing my life, as far as picking up my cross, as far as you know, sacrificing things that I have, like my time and my talent and my treasure, my money, don't talk to me about money, Pastor. People still follow Jesus at a distance, worried. Oh, if I commit to Jesus, he's going to send me to Inuvik. Listen, if Jesus wants you to go to Inuvik and you go, you'll have the greatest life ever. Like, whatever Jesus has planned for you is best. But Peter followed him at a distance. So worry can be a cause for bad decisions. And lastly, pleasure. Pleasure really makes us choose selfishly. You know, we might see another person in need, a you, and just ignore that you. And just be concerned about me and mine. My world is pretty concise. It's a package, me and mine, and it's wrapped up. You know what somebody said about that package? If you're all wrapped up in yourself, it's a really small package. Or we might see we, like the global cause of missions. What an amazing church you are. Seventh in the nation of Canada in missions giving out of 1,200 churches. In giving to the Lord, can you give the Lord a hand for your generosity? Now, are you ready for an amen? If you believe that one day this church will be number one in the PAOC in missions giving, say amen. Amen. I believe it. I believe it. And it's not for us. It's for them. It's for the gospel. But pleasure makes us choose selfishly. I love it when people choose not to buy that car. They're going to hold on a couple of more years with the car they have, or even... what's a guy thing? I don't know. I can think of girl things. We won't go there. Just, I love it when people set aside stuff. I love it when people set aside stuff for the kingdom. Pleasure makes us choose selfishly. And you know, when Peter followed at a distance, then what did he do? It says that he sat with the guards warming himself. at the fire. Just being caring for himself. You know, maybe you've heard this. McDonald's has this line, you deserve a... And Harvey said, you can have it. Yeah, you got it. And by the way, you've earned it. You've worked hard. Well, good. I mean, but I don't know what I deserve. But I'll tell you something. The highest call upon my life and the life of every Christian is to follow Jesus Christ and whatever his will is for our lives. So realize that we all fall short. The second thing, if we're going to have, you know, restoring relationships and healthy relationships, is this. Humbly ask God for mercy and forgiveness. Now, there was a man in the Bible that God said was a man after his own heart. It was King David. And just after King David, just in case you're thinking he must have been a top shelf guy, and he was, by the way, but just after King David had committed adultery and murdered someone, how many of you think those are pretty significant sins? I hope nobody's ever murdered somebody here. If you have, go see the police department. Don't come to the pastor. But after committing adultery and murdering someone, he says this, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Hey, Christian, aren't you glad that God's relationship with you doesn't depend upon you? You know what? Something happened to me today. In fact, it's happened to me for the past 41 years since I've known Jesus every day. I woke up this morning and his mercies were brand new for me. You know what? If his mercies weren't new for me, I would not be here. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Now listen to me, friend. There's nothing that you've done that the blood of Jesus Christ will not cleanse wholly. There's no place that you've been that God cannot bring you back from. Maybe you're here and you say, oh, you pastor, you don't know what I did. And I don't need to know, but Jesus knows, and Jesus paid it all, as the hymn writer said. Humbly ask God for mercy and forgiveness. Now, when you ask God for mercy and forgiveness, this action always responds with repentance. Repentance is this way. As Christians, we're walking toward God. When we sin, we kind of turn our back on God and we start to go our own way. When we ask God, we respond with repentance. We turn back to him. Now, repentance isn't this. Like if we've sinned and we're going this way, repentance isn't this. I can ask God to forgive me. I know he will. So I'm going to say, God, please forgive me. I like my sin. I'm going to keep walking away from you. No. That's not repentance. If we've been born again and we're walking toward the Lord and we kind of turn our back on God and we sin, then we say, Father, please forgive me. Help me not to do that. And we repent, we turn, and we begin to walk towards him once again with the grace that he provides. This action of asking God for mercy and forgiveness always responds with repentance. But God knows what's going to happen in our lives even before it takes place. And at that Last Supper table, this is what he said to Peter. He said, Simon, Simon, Satan, now look at what he didn't say. I mean, he's there with all the disciples. He didn't say, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you. What did he say? Satan has asked to sift each of you. You know what? Satan has asked to sift each of you. We want to be like a spa, Southside Pentecostal Assembly, for life. For life. John 10, 9 and 10. The thief comes but to steal, kill, and... But I've come that you might have life and more abundantly. And that's the good news that we have to share. Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you. But I've pleaded in prayer for you. Aren't you glad that Jesus is pleading for you today? Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented, look, and turn to me again. Strengthen your brothers. Strengthen your brothers. And friend, I need you to know this, that Jesus is seated today at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and he's pleading for you. Now, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be held back from God's best in your life because of something you've done or for something you're struggling with. Jesus is pleading with you. He's pleading that you will be restored. You shouldn't be in the flesh condemning yourself, and you certainly shouldn't let the devil, who is the accuser, listen, his name is the accuser of the brethren. You shouldn't let the devil be condemning you either. Look at what the Bible says about what Christ has done on the cross. Who then will condemn us? No one. Would you please say no one? For Christ Jesus died for us, and he was raised to life for us, and he's sitting at the place of honor at God's right hand pleading for us. God knows what you're going through, and Christ is pleading for you. And so I want you to just understand three imperatives that you need to understand, Christian, about God's plan for your life, even though you're not perfect, even though sometimes you miss it, even though you need to say, Father, forgive me. I want you to get these three imperatives about God's plan for your life. First of all, there is no plan B. You're still on plan A. God has a good and a pleasing and a perfect will for you. He's taking you, you know, from darkness, and he's putting you into light. He's taking you from death, and he's put you on the road to life. And he has a good and pleasing and perfect will. You're still on plan A. Secondly, you need to understand this. Your mistakes or your sins are a part of God's plan. Aren't you glad that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, that he didn't just cover the sins that you committed yesterday, but he covered the sins that you're going to commit today, and his blood covers the sins that you're going to commit until you see Jesus? Understand what I'm saying here. I'm not saying that the Christian lives in sin. The Bible says the Christian is set free from sin. But when you do sin, friends, do you all of a sudden not become saved? And there's different kinds of sins. Do you know that there are the sins of commission? The sins that you know about? The sins that you did and you say, God, forgive me? But there's also the sins of omission. There's the sins that you don't know about. Maybe you were just driving from here to Costco, and in Costco, God put a person in front of you to minister to. And you saw that, and you heard that small voice, stop and talk to them, but you're too busy. You had to get some toilet paper because it was all gone. There's the sins of omission. There's the sins that we've committed. Aren't you, Christian, you don't understand. If you don't understand that your mistakes are a part of God's plan, you don't understand the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all your sin. Christians will not be judged for sin. If we were judged for sin, we'd go to hell. Christians, when you stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, you will be judged for your works, for the works of grace that God did through your life. So understand that your mistakes are a part of God's plan. God has you covered, hallelujah, in the cross of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, since you are fallen, God expects you to help others. God expects you to look out for others. Third thing that you need to understand about relationships and God's relationship with you is this: gratefully accept God's grace. It's been about 41 years that I've been serving Jesus. I came to the Lord when I was 18. I'm not sure if I was a Christian from the time I was 0 to 12. I'm not really sure. But I'm pretty positive from the time I was 13 till I accepted Jesus at 18, I wasn't following Jesus. But as long as I follow the Lord and as long as I breathe air, do you want to know what I am? I'm not a pastor who went to Bible college and pastors. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Do you know what the Apostle Paul said, who in my mind was the greatest New Testament believer out there? He said to Timothy, his young preaching protege, Timothy, you can argue about a lot of things, but in 1 Timothy 1:15, he said this. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Jesus Christ came to save. Would you say that? Jesus Christ came to save. If you don't think you're a sinner, then you're in real trouble, more trouble than you know. He came to save sinners, and then he didn't say this. And I was the worst one. He said, of whom I am the worst one. Meaning that he understood something. He understood the holiness of God. God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much. Now, this coronavirus, you know, if people catch this coronavirus, they definitely get sick, but only some of them die. Right? We understand that about this virus. But sin, you were not sick in your sin. What does the Bible say? You were dead. Like, before you knew Jesus, you were dead. You weren't sick, you were dead. And only God can bring dead people to life. He's so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you have been saved. Circle that, God's grace. It's only by God's grace. I love that simple Sunday school definition. What is God's grace? It's God's riches at Christ's expense. There's nothing I can ever do to add to the cross. There's nothing I can ever do to add to the blood of Jesus. So gratefully accept God's grace. Three reasons here that your sin does not invalidate God's plan in your life. Three reasons that the fact that you and I are broken people doesn't take us off God's plan A for our lives. First of all, Jesus Christ already died for my sins. He doesn't have to die. Like, if I sin tomorrow, he doesn't have to die again. He died 2,000 years ago. And you know what the Bible says? He died once for all. And when we do sin, it says if anybody does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones. That's a beautiful word in the Bible, atonement. It means to be made one with. It's through the sacrifice of Christ that we were made one with God again. We were forgiven. He atones for our sins. And not only our sins, friends, but the sins of the whole. Listen, when Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross, that blood made atonement possible for the sins of the whole wide world. Question, is the whole wide world going to be saved? No, we know that from Scripture. But the blood of Christ made it a possibility that if anyone comes to him, how many people does God want to perish? God is not willing that. And God didn't just love us. God so loved the blood of Christ paid for the sins of the whole world. Now, if anyone turns to Christ, he will never cast them out, but he'll receive them. He already died for all my sins. Now, this other one, this is a tough one for us to grasp. But God's goodness is not based upon my performance. God will not love you anymore because of what you do, nor will he love you any less. He just loves you. Do you know the Bible describes God's love in different ways? Unchanging, unfailing. But when God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the good things, not because of the righteous. That's another great Bible word. It means right standing. We don't have right standing with God because of the goodness that we do. We have right standing with God because of the blood of Jesus. If you believe that, say amen. Not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy, he washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. Another reason that your sin doesn't invalidate God's plan, thirdly, is that God's call and God's gifts are given unconditionally. I mean, the meaning of a gift is that it's given. It's not like, well, I wonder if she's good enough. I wonder, as you know, it's not like Santa. Are they on the naughty list? I got news for you. We're all on the naughty list. But God demonstrates his love to us in this, that while we were still, Christ died for us. And God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. Every one of you that have come to know Jesus Christ, God has given you gifts. God has bestowed you with gifts, and he's given you these gifts to serve him and to serve his body and to build up the church of Jesus Christ. The fourth thing that we need to do if we're going to have healthy relationships is generously forgive those who hurt you. Peter thought he had the great answer. How many times do I need to forgive somebody? Seven times in one day? And that was really a really good answer because the, you know, in the law, the scribes, they had this, their own rules that they had, you know, that you would do three, kind of like baseball, three strikes and you're out. So Peter doubled that and he added one, plus seven is a good number in God's plan. Like seven times in one day? Like it was, have you ever been in a classroom and the teacher, the professor perhaps said, I have a question for you, and you put up your hand, you go, oh, I know that, and then say it, and it's wrong, doesn't that, it's horrible. It was like Peter, oh, Jesus, I know. He was expecting a pat on the back. Seven times in one day, Lord? No, Peter, not seven times, 70 times seven. Now, here's what Jesus didn't mean. He didn't mean we keep a black book, 323, 325, 453, 490, praise God, you're done, no. No. It means without number. Love one another just as I have loved you. If you forgive those, now this happens after this text here in Matthew. It comes after the request of the disciples, the Lord teaches to pray, and he gives them what's been called the Lord's Prayer, but might be called the Believer's Prayer, the Our Father. And then following that, he says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, don't misunderstand this. This doesn't mean we get to heaven by how we forgive. But if you don't forgive, you could be a Christian, but you'll be a mad Christian.
you'll be an angry Christian. Like, you won't smile. Because you don't forgive people. So generously forgive those who hurt you. That will heal relationships. I want to talk about three things that can keep you from living God's dream. First of all, grief or losses in your past. I took this picture of Josh last summer. That was him in the morning when he was down having his coffee by the boats. And that was one day we portaged into a little lake and we were coming up late at night and we caught some pickerel and some bass and he was so happy. Losses in your life. The Avengers Endgame star Mark Ruffalo, he's been through a number of hardships in life, including being diagnosed with a brain tumor in 2001. And then he tragically lost his younger brother, Scott, in 2008 when he was shot in Mark's Beverly Hills apartment. But Mark Ruffalo, he feels that these things have made him who he is, and it's made him painfully aware of people's vulnerability. He said, I don't know what I'd be like without those experiences, something like that happening or any kind of tragedy. It just opens the world in a different way. And you realize that as human beings, we're all fallible. We're all fallible. I have my own deep insecurity, and I'm not just so certain about anything. None of us really know the end of the story. All of us are walking around with an enormous amount of uncertainty. And so maybe, he said, I bring that uncertainty into the parts I play. I'm painfully aware, he says, of the vulnerability of human beings. Nobody gets out of here alive, and nobody gets out of the real struggle and the suffering. You know, for us, with Josh, as he was in that hard time of his life that I shared with you a while back, you know what it did to our hearts? Now, Wanda and I, we've never been really judgmental people, even before that. But whatever judgmentalness we had, I know that's not a word, but whatever was judging others in our, it was kind of purged, and we had bigger compassion for people. And even with Josh going home at 32, this is the hardest pathway that we've ever had to walk through so far. But Jesus is faithful. And you are faithful. Thank you so much for your prayers. And as we're gone for this Sunday and these days, just pray rest and refreshment on us as we're away. But you know, even in Josh going home at 32, I'm just knowing this, that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. And this, look at the Bible now. The Bible says this. The righteous person faces many troubles. This is a trouble for us, but I know some of you have faced troubles worse than this. Some of you are facing troubles today that are very hard, but be encouraged by the word. God is close to you. God knows what you're going through. And the righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. I can tell you honestly, there's two choices that Wanda and I are making, well, since February the 8th. Only two things can happen to us as people, honestly. We're either going to get bitter or we're going to get better. And I can tell you, by the grace of God, we are going to get much, much, much better. So grief, losses in your past. The other thing that can keep you from living God's dream is guilt, sin in your past. Just remember, oh, I sinned, I did it again. I said I would never do that again. You know what you're forgetting? You were dead. You were dead because of your sins. And because your sinful nature was not yet cut away, then God made you alive, it says in Colossians chapter 2. He made you alive with Christ. And look what God did when you came to him. He forgave some of your sins. Aren't you glad? What does it say? He forgave. So stop holding yourself in guilt. You know, that's an affront to the very blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. God looks at you as his son, and he looks at you as his daughter, and he sees no sin, even though you're not perfect. You're never going to be perfect until you see Christ, and then you'll be changed. He forgave all our sins. So stop bowing to the flesh and being bound by guilt. Stop allowing the enemy, the devil, the one who is the accuser of the brethren. It says that he stands before God and he accuses God's people day and night. And God just said, I don't see any sin. I don't see any sin. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. So don't let the devil beat you up and don't let the devil hold you in guilt and don't let that stop you from going into God's plan A for your life. Because you know what God did? Whether you like it or not, when you came to Jesus, he canceled the record of the charges against you. Canceled. Paid in full. Tatelestai, when Jesus cried out on the cross, "It is finished," he said, "Father, I've done it. I've paid the price for the sins of the whole world." He canceled the record of the charges against it, and he took it away by nailing it to the cross. Hallelujah. Grief, guilt, and the third thing that can keep you from living God's dream is grudges. Hurts. Hurts from the past. All of us get hurt. All of us have people who do very terrible things to us. Sometimes we even do very terrible things to other people for which we have to say, "I'm sorry." You know, if there's a relationship that needs to be mended in your life, don't wait for that person to call you. Even if it's not your fault. The Bible's very clear. If you know that someone has something against you, not that you have something against someone. The Bible says if you know someone has something against you, try to make it right. So if there's a situation, especially it happens in families, doesn't it? I mean, it happens with those we love the most, doesn't it? Our brothers, our sisters, our nieces, our nephews, our cousins, those that are close to us. "I'll never speak to her again." Ooh. Grudges can keep you, the hurts from the past can keep you from knowing and living God's best. So if you have some of those today, would you hear the invitation from Jesus? Come to me. Come to me. Because you know when you're like, you're just tired. You carry this thing and you become a prisoner. Come to me if you're weary and you carry a heavy burden and I'll give you rest. "Take my yoke upon you and let me teach you, because I'm humble and I'm gentle of heart. You'll find rest for your souls, because the yoke I give is easy to bear and the burden that I give you is light." Well, if you're looking for Mr. Perfect or Mrs. Perfect, they're never going to be here. God uses people just like me and you. People who have warts. People who know that they need Jesus. People who make mistakes. People that fall in sin sometimes. God uses people just like us to build his kingdom. So you know what you need to do when it comes to relationships and God's plan? Just choose to go with God's plan in Jesus. I mean, the Lord is your shepherd. You will not want. He'll make you lie down in green pastures. He's going to lead you beside the still waters. He's going to restore your soul, not so that you're going to make it, but so that your cup will overflow. And listen, you know what's going to follow you all of the days of your life? It's not going to be this or that. It's going to be goodness and mercy. That's what's going to follow you all of the days of your life. And by the way, child of God, you're going to live in the house of the Lord forever. I'm asking board members to come, and they're going to receive some anointing oil from Pastor Karsten. We want to take this time to remind ourselves that God wants us to live his best dream in spite of our past decisions. And so we just want to open the altars today so that healing can be our portion, so that healing can come. We want to remind ourselves that I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, Lord, because you were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit lives within me. Because you died and you rose again, amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, would die for me? How do we live God's dream, God's plan for our lives? It's honestly accepting responsibility for some of the poor choices. It's humbly asking God for mercy and grace. It's gratefully accepting God's grace. It's generously forgiving those who hurt you. And it's going with God's plan in Jesus. Would you stand with me, please, and listen to this beautiful invitation from James? And this is how we want to end today. We want to end today by opening up the altar. Do you know what I've learned? I always pray that when I preach or any of our pastors bring the word of God, or Pastor Sue as you're preaching in the children's area, or Pastor Kyle, you're preaching with our youth and young adults in Preston. I pray this, as the Bible calls what we do preachers the foolishness of preaching. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't work at it. We have to. But we need to realize something. Only if God touches people's hearts. So I always pray, oh God, I pray that, I pray this honestly for everybody that's here today. I pray that at least one thing that came out of this month, that the Holy Spirit took it and made it real in your life. At least one. But I realize this when we have an open altar like this. And in a minute, here's the invitation. Here's the invitation. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are you happy? Well, you should sing praises. And are any of you sick? Well, you should call for the elders of the church to come. That's what we're doing right now. To come and anoint you. and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick and the Lord will make them well. Oh, and by the way, if you've committed any sins, if anybody here has ever committed any sins, say yes. If you didn't say yes, you need to find Jesus. I mean, that's all of us. If you've committed any sins, you'll be forgiven. That, what an invitation. So confess your sins to each other. Do you know who's the best person to help somebody who's suffering, maybe with a loved one that's in addiction, is somebody who's been with somebody who's suffered an addiction. Do you know who's the best person to help somebody whose marriage is falling apart? Is maybe somebody that's went through a broken marriage and God has restored them. You see, friends, the things that God heals in our hearts are the very things that God uses to help us help others. And so I'm so thankful that we have this altar, because here's what I realize. In 1 millisecond, as you come, you're not coming to a church board. You're coming to Jesus. And I realize this, that as we just humbly come and say, Jesus, I need you, for whatever it may be, God will do his work. So we're going to take some time here in these next probably 10 minutes and just open the altars. Come, be anointed, and look to Jesus as we sing, I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. It means that Jesus is our Lord. He's the one who's in charge. If you're here today and you're still out you haven't come forward and you've never accepted the free gift of God's love in Jesus Christ, you can do that now. You can come and just say, Jesus, I'm coming to you. And here's the neat thing. It's not a religion. It's not a religion. Thank God we're not bound by religion. No. It's a relationship with the living Christ. So we're going to sing, You Are My King. And here's what I want you to do, Christians that are here, that are facing things. Whatever circumstance God's allowed into your life, say, Jesus, you're my king. I give it to you. You're my king. God, I don't understand what you're working in this, but God, you're my king. I don't understand, Lord, what's going on sometimes, but you're my king. I trust you, Jesus. You are my king. Now, if you're here and you're making this walk to give your life to Jesus, you're just simply saying this. I'm tired of going my own way. I understand that, Jesus, you died on the cross for me and you love me. I want to follow you. I want to give you my life. You come, you be anointed, and you watch. Jesus Christ will accept you. He'll cleanse you. He'll forgive you. He'll change your life for now and for eternity. Let's offer it to Jesus as we sing, You are my King. Are you suffering hardships? Well, you should pray. Are you happy? Well, you should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. Thank you, Father. Healing is coming now in Jesus' name. Why? Because healing is the children's bread. Why? Because you are Jehovah Rapha. You are the God who is our healer. Why? Because your word says, if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, he shall quicken our mortal body. So we receive it now. Healing, quickening, strength, grace in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your healing, Lord. We're just walking in faith, receiving it. Thank you for the life of God that is ours in Christ Jesus. You're our King. You know our moments. You know our days. We just submit to it, Lord. We just submit to it. We remember that it's the joy of the Lord that is our strength. Forgive us, Lord, when we've been angry. Forgive us, Lord, when we've screamed at you and yelled at you and said, what are you doing with our lives? But you know we're just humans. You know we're just weak. You know we're nothing but flesh. But thank you, Lord, that you love us, that you restore us. Are you kidding? Even if we remain faithless, you will remain faithful? What a God. What a Lord. What a lover of our souls. We receive healing. We receive health. We receive wholeness in the name of Jesus. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. If you've committed any sins, you will be forgiven. We've all committed sins. Some of them we know about. Now, there's some of them we know about right here at this altar. There's some at this altar that are sins that we like doing. It could be greed. We like being greedy. It could be amassing things for ourselves. It could be a position. We like being successful and letting people know that we are. Well, the Bible says all such boasting is of the world, and it amounts to nothing. It may be a habit. It may be a habit that we've said, forgive me, Lord, and we've repented, but we really didn't repent. We just want to keep doing it because we like doing it. But today, Lord, we're confessing our sins one to another. And we're thankful, Lord. You know, we as Christians, we can't sin. We don't like sinning. Like when we do it, we don't feel good. Like those that are in the world, they're kind of bound by sin, but not as Christians. We don't like sinning. So Lord, right now at this altar, what we're doing is we're just confessing our sin to you. And we're really saying, I repent. I'm repenting. I'm turning. I'm putting this down. You know, I remember after I came to know Jesus, I used to smoke a pack and a half of cigarettes a day. Pack and a half. And I liked it. And but then, after I came to know Jesus, I felt guilty. So how stupid was I that I thought I could do this? You know what I did for my Christian friends? I smoked in the room where they couldn't see me. Do you think they couldn't smell me? I mean, I remember one time I was in a Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting, and this guy wasn't the most sensitive speaker, but there were some people in that hotel room that were smoking, and he said, smoke now, burn later. But I didn't want to smoke anymore. I didn't want to smoke cigarettes anymore. I mean, I don't know what you're struggling with today. I'm just being honest with you. You know, whatever it is that you don't want to do anymore, you really don't want to because you're a Christian. You know, God saved you for better purposes, right? So I said, Jesus, please help me. And then I'd put it down for a little while, and then I wasted a lot of money because I'd buy players. I used to, Players was the brand, blue players. I don't know if you still have them or not. Praise God, I don't know. Hallelujah. But I used to buy them and smoke through cigarettes, rip them up, throw them in the garbage. But then you know what would happen is I'd be walking down the street and somebody would be smoking. It would come across my nose. It was like, oh, it was like, it sounds horrible now. It was like fresh baked bread. I just needed it. So I just kept asking Jesus, please help me. I don't want to do it anymore. Do you know what happened? I don't know why it took, it was me. It wasn't God. It was me. Okay, it was me. It wasn't God. But honestly, the Lord, then after one of those times when I ripped up the cigarettes and threw them in the garbage, I was walking, I smelt a cigarette, and I didn't like the smell. I didn't like the smell. Then I had a choice. Then I had a choice. I didn't like the smell, but if I would go do it, I'd like that. And I didn't. Hallelujah. That's just a little small thing out of my own life to let you know that we're confessing our sins right now. So lift your hands. Father, you know everything about us. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And all of us still have spots and warts and problems that you're working out in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just repent today. Whatever that sin may be, I'm not even, and I love this. I love this. You know, there was a time in the church, I just named smoking, but I wasn't saying, God's giving me a word of wisdom. This is not a word of wisdom. This is manipulation. God's giving me a word of wisdom. Some of you are struggling with alcohol. That's not a word of wisdom. That's just manipulation. Some of you are struggling with pornography. That's not a word. That's just manipulation. I love this. I don't have to tell you. I don't have to tell you what you're struggling with. You already know. God's telling you. Jesus said this. My sheep know my voice, and they won't listen to a stranger. So you're not here because of me. You're here because the Spirit of God is working in you. You're here because you want God's plan A. You're here because you're not going to allow the failings of your past and the brokenness in your own life to keep you from God's very best for you. So, Father, we're just confessing our sin. I remember what your word says. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What an amazing God you are. So confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you might be healed. I had a thought. That was a nice Freudian slip. Confess your sins and pray for each other so you not so that you might be a heal, you know, a heal, like a heal. Somebody. No, that you might be healed. Healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was as human as we are. We're all human. And when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down its rain and the earth began to yield its crops. Now, we don't usually read this far in the Bible, but you know what one of my Bible professors told me about the Bible? If you want to really study the Bible, you better learn what comes before and after the text that you're reading. We're talking about restoring relationships here. My dear brothers and sisters, now that you've all been healed, now that you've all been forgiven, now that you've all brought your thing to Jesus up here, okay, my dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by you, you can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back. When in the church, sometimes when we hear the word sinner, we think of people who don't know Jesus. We're thinking dumb. Can I read this again to you? My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you, does that make sense that that's a Christian? If someone among you wanders away from the truth, does anybody know anybody up here and here? Does anybody know anybody that's wandered away from the truth? Hello, put up your hand. Come on, put up your hand. God wants you to do this. This is God's assignment for you now. We're talking about restoring relationships. If you know what our mission statement is that comes from the great commandment of loving God and the great commission on our bulletin, say it with me. We want to be a people who are loving God and leading people to the living Lord. This is what God wants you to do. If someone wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins. Guess who the many sins are in my life? Do you know what the Bible says? If we show mercy to people, if we have grace with people, if we forgive people, if we love people, you know what's going to happen when we stand before Jesus? He's going to show us mercy. He's going to show us grace. He's going to show us, you know what the Bible says? If we don't love people, if we're harsh with people, if we don't show mercy, if we're judgmental, it says when you stand before Jesus, no mercy will be shown. Meaning, I mean, you're still going to get in, but you might get in as escaping through the flames. Lord, thank you that you've put a blueprint in our hearts about how to love God and love others. Just keep us, I pray, in this place of loving you. And I love what Pastor Carson's preaching on tonight. He's preaching on broken vessels, clay jars. It's going to be amazing. I think you got a song, Pastor Jason, to send us out with. And if you'd like to meet in the Connection Cafe, some of the pastors will be there. Thanks for praying for Wanda and I as we're away for one Sunday. We're going to see you when we get back and looking forward to ministering in his strength and his grace. God bless you. Have a good Lord's Day.